back up to speed where we were when we left off. We're talking about the 10 pillars of end time events. And number one is the 70 weeks, which we've talked about at length, and we're never going to be done talking about the 70 weeks, because if you don't understand the 70 weeks, you don't understand anything. If you understand the 70 weeks, you can understand, you can put everything in its proper place, pretty much. You won't go too far wrong if you understand the 70 weeks. If you don't understand the 70 weeks, you got no chance. Okay? So we're still talking about the 70 weeks. And we're gonna we're gonna continue to talk about the 70 weeks, and it's because it's so important. Praise the Lord. All right, the acceptable year of the Lord versus the day of his vengeance. This generation shall not pass. We talked about that. Jerusalem destroyed. We've talked about that to some extent. The third temple built. We'll talk about that from time to time. The rapture date is not set. I want to talk about that tonight. The rapture date, there is no set date for the rapture. And we're going to talk about that tonight. No Roman Empire, we've talked about that. A premillennial rapture. Armageddon, premillennial, Gog and Magog, postmillennial. We've talked about all of that. So we're really knocking them down, and we're getting there. When we left off last time, I gave everybody a homework assignment.
You probably did.
That's probably true. All right. Does anybody remember what that assignment was?
Yes, it was reading.
Leviticus chapter 8 and 9.
Reading Leviticus.
It was in the Bible.
In Acts 2 and Joel 2.
That's right. That's exactly right. Leviticus chapters 8 and 9, Joel 2, and Acts 2. Now, this is so important because it all deals with Pentecost. And why is Pentecost important? Pentecost is probably the most important day in the history of the human race since the creation of Eve. I think it's safe enough to say that it is the most important day, and for various reasons. So because Pentecost is so important, we're going to really take some time to go into it. And I'm just going to tell you that I believe that Pentecost was the date the clock stopped. The clock stopped on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm probably not going to convince you tonight necessarily if you're not convinced, but I should be able to convince you before this is over, before our classes are over, of that truth, and also that the rapture will start the clock. So Pentecost stops the clock, and the rapture starts the clock. Now I'm going to tell you that I believe Pentecost is on the clock, and the rapture is on the clock. Everything in between is off the clock. In other words, Pentecost stopped it, the rapture stops it, and everything in between is off the clock. We're off the clock right now. We've been off the clock since the day of Pentecost. And I'll tell you, we'll go into detail about the reason, but the reasons are that there are end-time prophecies, specific end-time prophecies, found in Joel chapter 2, for example. Mm-hmm. Specific end-time prophecies that were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. End-time prophecies. And there are end-time prophecies obviously going to be fulfilled on the day of the rapture. So if you have end-time prophecies fulfilled, it must be on the clock. Because if you're off the clock, you don't have end-time prophecies being fulfilled. We don't have end-time prophecies being fulfilled today. We're off the clock. But when you're on the clock, how much time is left?
7 years.
That's not much time. Okay, so we can't be on the clock. You know, we can't be, the clock is just not running, you know, and running and running and running. You know, people, some people say, you know, well, when Israel became a nation again, the clock started running. No, 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 no. There's only 7 years. How long ago was that? No, 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 no. It's only 7 years. You only got seven. No more. Absolutely no more, because that's all of Daniel's 70 weeks that are left is 7 years. 1 week. So the reason why Pentecost has to be on the clock is because there were specific end time prophecies fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and there are specific prophecies fulfilled on the day of the rapture, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So those two dates have to be on the clock. And in from the time of the rapture till the second coming has to be no more than 7 years.
That's right.
2,520 days, I think, if that is correct, minus whatever there was between the time of the Palm Sunday and the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
All right. But before we get into that too deep, I want us to go to the book of Leviticus. And here's what I want, because we're gonna take some time, and this is so important that I want to lay some foundation. I want foundation laid. I want it laid well, so that you can see Pentecost. That you can see Pentecost in here. And so we're not, you know, I'm not going to get in a hurry. But tonight I want us to look at Leviticus chapter 8, verse 12. Now I'm just going to give you three or four verses of scripture here that I think are absolutely critical in Leviticus. And the reasons why that is true will become apparent to you eventually. All right? 8 and 12. And he, that is Moses, poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Now, you know, this is where it said, you know, that he poured so much oil on him that ran down his beard, ran all down his hair, ran down his beard, all the way down to the skirts of his garments. In Psalms 133, it talks about that. So this was the consecration of Aaron to be the high priest. He had the consecrating oil poured upon him to consecrate him in the priesthood. This was the beginning of the Aaronic priesthood here in Leviticus chapter 8. Also, and not only were they beginning the Aaronic priesthood, but they were consecrating the tabernacle. Moses had erected the tabernacle, and all of the furnishings had to be anointed, consecrated, and everything had to be dedicated. Now let's go on to verse 31 here. Says, Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, and I'm going to skip that part about boiling the flesh at the door and so on. I'm going to skip down to the 33rd verse. You shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation for 7 days until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. So Aaron was instructed to go, Aaron and his sons were instructed to go into the tabernacle and stay in there, and not come out for 7 days. Now that's important, because in verse 35 he says, therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that you die not, for so I am commanded. Now in other words, if they came out before 7 days were up, zap. God was serious.
Yes.
He was serious. He was deadly serious about this. I mean, God said, I'm doing something here, and there is a pattern here, and you need to keep the pattern. And when I tell you to stay in there for a certain period of time, I mean to stay in there for that certain period of time, and you don't break the pattern. Okay? Then on chapter 9, verse 1, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And then that day on the eighth day, they offered a peace offering, a burnt offering, and a sin offering. They offered on the eighth day. Now the eighth day is extremely important because something extraordinary happened on the eighth day. This was the eighth day now. It had to stay in the tabernacle, couldn't come out for 7 days. Now this is the eighth day. Verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. So this is what happened. For 8 days, they consecrated the tabernacle.
The servants of Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
One service at a time. One teaching at a time.
There you go. All right. So, on the eighth day, they brought out. They came out and blessed the people.
Yes.
Moses and Aaron came out of the tabernacle. Blessed the people on the eighth day.
Bless him.
Fire came out from before the Lord and lit the sacrifice on the altar and burned up the sacrifice and consumed the sacrifice. Now, this, you know, the God that answers, we have a God that answers
yes.
by fire.
Yes.
If you remember when Jesus. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel to have a duel with the prophets of Baal.
Yeah.
Elijah said, I got this idea. Let's both offer a sacrifice, and the God that answers by fire, he is the God.
Yes.
And these guys were dumb enough to go along with it. And so they offered their sacrifice. And now listen, here's the deal. With God, timing is everything.
Amen.
Timing is everything with God. Timing.
Yes.
Say timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
Hallelujah. Nothing done. God does nothing in a haphazard manner.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything he does is deliberate, and especially when it comes to our salvation, when our salvation is at stake. He does everything according to a pattern and a plan. And this dedication of the tabernacle and the Aaronic priesthood was according to a plan and a schedule.
Yes.
But it was a type and shadow of something bigger.
Ooh, Jesus.
All right, so you know that when Elijah, that these guys, you know the story, that these guys, you know, they offered their sacrifice, these prophets of Baal, and they jumped around and they got no results. You know, they heard nothing, they saw nothing, and all day long they jumped up and down on the altar and screamed and yelled, you know, and cut themselves and everything else. Nothing. Then, when it came time to offer the evening sacrifice,
oh, hallelujah,
when the priests in Jerusalem were preparing to offer the evening sacrifice in the temple, Elijah drew near and he offered his sacrifice at the accepted time. Elijah knew that God was a God of patterns, that timing was everything. When the time came that they were supposed to offer the evening sacrifice, Elijah drew near and called upon God.
Yes.
And the fire fell from heaven.
Yes.
And consumed the sacrifice.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This, you know, there's so much to say about this, but when they built the temple, when Solomon built the temple, and they dedicated the temple, Solomon prayed, and after he had prayed, after 8 days, and he prayed, then fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice on the altar of the Solomonic temple.
Yep.
The God that answers by fire. Baal doesn't answer by fire. Buddha doesn't answer by fire. Confucius doesn't answer by fire. Jehovah answers by fire.
Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Now, whenever we see a tabernacle or a temple dedicated, we need 8 days. To dedicate a tabernacle or a temple or any part thereof, you need 8 days. It was 8 days for this. It was 8 days for Solomon's temple. It was 8 days for Zerubbabel's temple. And it was 8 days. You know the story about the 8 days of Hanukkah, when they rededicated the altar after it was desecrated. 8 days. Say 8 days.
Eight days
is a dedication time. That's the dedication time. So you got it. For a dedication. You need 8 days. And fire.
Yes.
Now this is real fire. This is not just a lot of shouting and, you know, jumping and running around and a lot of activity. We're talking about literal fire.
Amen.
Nadab and Abihu in chapter 10, it says, verse 1, the sons of Aaron took either of them his censer and put fire thereon and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. What was wrong with their fire? It wasn't the fire off of the altar.
Right.
You see, when God lit the altar, that fire was never supposed to go out. That was divine fire. It was holy fire that was never supposed to go out, and you weren't supposed to kindle your own fire.
Right.
You were supposed to use that fire.
Jesus.
And these guys, this was just impudence on their part, apparently. And they said, well, you know, there's nothing about this fire. We'll just, you know, we'll show you.
Fire,
well,
fire.
Fire came out and burned them up.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. This is real fire.
Yeah.
So when you have a dedication, you need 8 days, and you need fire.
That's awesome right there.
Bless you,
Jesus. All right. What's all that got to do with Pentecost? we'll deal with that in due time. I want to get on to something else, I wanted to put that in your files. You need that in your files, and you need to hold on to it, because we're going to come back to it, and we're going to come back to it, and we're going to come back to it. And until you see exactly what's going on, and with why it actually has to do with Pentecost. Well, I'll tell you.
Come
on now.
Preach.
Amen. But I'm going to go into it in a lot more detail. I don't know whether you've ever heard this or not, but from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, he was crucified. I didn't really know whether I was going to get into this. What? Tell me what? Somebody tell me what day of the week Jesus was crucified on?
Thursday.
He was crucified on Thursday. How do we know that? Okay. We know that because there is only one day of the week. We know when he rose from the dead.
Yes.
Matthew tells us that. Let's look at that. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matthew 28:1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. This was before daylight. So we know, I mean, how much clearer can you get? At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, now keep in mind that the Jewish day does not begin at midnight like ours does. It begins at sundown. Okay, so the Jewish day begins at sundown. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, when they came to him and said, we want a sign, Jesus said, you're an evil and adulterous generation. You are a generation of vipers. You are a wicked generation. An adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He says, I'll give you one sign, but I'll only give you one sign. And that's all I'm going to give you. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, I'll be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And then he said, on the third day, I will rise again. Now, you might say, well, how in the world can he possibly be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth and yet rise on the third day? It is possible, but there is only, knowing that he rose on Sunday morning before daylight, which we absolutely know, then there is only one possible day of the week that he could have been crucified, and that was Thursday. We're going to go into that, not tonight, I don't think. We're going to go into that, though, in great detail, and we'll show you exactly how that is. There is only one day that will fulfill his sign. Jesus didn't give us a sign and then break his sign.
No, he didn't.
And then blow his own sign. He gave him, he said, I'm going to give you one sign, and if he didn't fulfill that scripture, he's not the Christ.
He fulfilled it, yes.
But he fulfilled it to the letter.
Yes, right. Yes.
And there's only one day that'll do it. That's Thursday. It's not Friday. Friday's not enough time. It's not Wednesday. Wednesday's too much time. He can't be dead more than 3 days, or else the scripture wouldn't be fulfilled. It said, you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption.
Right, right.
Corruption set in as far as the Jews were concerned, biblically, corruption set in. They began to putrefy after 3 days. Mm-hmm. That's why it was a big deal with Lazarus when he'd been dead 4 days.
Yeah.
Jesus let him lay there for 4 days so everybody know that this was a great miracle. Nobody had ever come back from the dead after 4 days.
Glory, hallelujah.
Nobody hallelujah. Had ever come back after 4 days. Jesus stayed gone. He stayed away. Just so that 4 days would go by.
Yeah.
When 4 days went by, Jesus showed up so he could work this great miracle.
Yes, yes, yes.
But Jesus said, I'm going to be 3 days and I will not see corruption. Mm-hmm. The Jews believed that the soul hung around the body for 3 days. Hmm. The soul did not leave the body for 3 days. And that within the 3 days, it wasn't you. They did not believe that you actually saw corruption, that your body actually began to decompose until the third day was up. That's why the scripture said, thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And that's they quoted that with regard to Jesus on various occasions. Jesus had to come out before the fourth day began. He could only, Wednesday's too much time.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Friday is not enough time. All right, we'll go into that in more detail. But, so he came out on Sunday. There are 52 days, there's 52 days from 51 days, 52 days, 52 days from Pentecost to, from the Passover to Pentecost. He was crucified on the Passover. He was 3 days in the belly of the earth. He was here walking around and visiting people for 40 days. Mm-hmm. Then he went to heaven. That leaves you 8 days. 8 days. Jesus goes back to the Father, and he's got 8 days. The clock begins to run. 8 days, 8 days, 8 days.
Hallelujah.
8 days to Pentecost. 8 days to Pentecost. What's Jesus doing? He's going into the Holy of Holies. He's starting the new priesthood. Mm-hmm. He's being anointed as the new high priest. He's beginning the new dispensation is beginning. Well, we're going into that in more detail, but that's what he's doing. He's going, if he's got 8 days, 8 days of dedication,
yes.
He's gone into the Holy of Holies. He's there for 8 days. On the eighth day, he comes out, and when the day of Pentecost is fully come, what happens? Fire! Fire! Because yes. Everybody could see that Jesus' sacrifice had been accepted, and the Father had that he had sat down on the right hand of the Father from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Yes, 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 yes.
Everybody could see, yes, we can't see Jesus, but we know that he has gone into the Holy of Holies and that he has dedicated the new priesthood because the fire, God answers by fire.
Yes.
And
yes,
God answered by fire and the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Thank all you, right. Jesus.
I didn't,
hallelujah.
I didn't want to get into all that.
Glory.
Ooh.
But I couldn't help myself. But I'm going to do it again. But we're going to go into it in more detail next time. But that's just an introduction. That's right. That's just the introduction.
Wow.
There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. We're going to talk about the rapture because it's important. It's a timing. It's a timing thing. The rapture is a timing thing. It's got to do with. The Pentecost stops the clock and the rapture starts the clock, okay? It's a timing thing. And God is concerned with timing, and we should be concerned with timing.
Amen.
If we're going to understand the end times, we've got to understand timing. Timing is absolutely critical. Timing is everything, okay?
And he is precision.
Absolutely right. There is no set time for the rapture. That being said... We're off the clock. Time means nothing. We're off the clock. So the clock is not running on us. Time for us means nothing.
Oh, that's so good.
There's not a contradiction there.
No, there's not.
All right. I'm going to ask this question, and we've asked this question before. God help us. I'm all over the place. You just got to hold on, grab on where you can and hold on.